What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're moving ever closer to kickoff. Sunday afternoon at the Link. Possibility of snow. Love it. Good morning to you. All right, show to camera, John Ritchie. Life advice with the hammer in about 15 minutes. Sheil Kapadia in about a minute. But let me tell you right now, big thanks to Wendy's. Brought in a big old spread of food.
Buddy.
Big old spread, breakfast food. You think of Wendy's, you might think of, you know, afternoon food, nighttime food. Think of breakfast food.
Well, you think of burgers, think of the breakfast burger. It is amazing.
That's what I just said. I had a burger with an egg, and it was phenomenal. So
not surprising that you would go burger.
Yes.
A breakfast burrito with sausage
they had that
or
as well.
Bacon. Yep. They got that, too. They got it all.
Yeah, they got the honey.
Chicken biscuit. Ooh,
that's right.
Buddy.
The honey buddy chicken biscuit. So it's all there. Breakfast, baconator, the whole deal. Seasoned potatoes. It's tremendous. The vanilla and chocolate cream cold brew. It's all there. Freshen up your morning with Wendy's breakfast. If you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, got to be Wendy's. Get to your local Wendy's today, of course, or any day. All right, let's go to talk to our next guest. You can join us at 215-592-9494. Our next guest is Sheil Kapadia. He's usually with us on Wednesdays, but moved to Thursday this week, ever closer to the Eagles and those L.A. Rams. Sheil, of course, doing wonderful work for the Ringer, and you can follow him at Sheil Kapadia on Twitter. Good morning, Sheil.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Excited.
Great, Sheil.
Excited, fired up, not that nervous, and very confident, Sheil. Maybe overconfident, but it's how I honestly feel. Sheil, let's start with this. The Rams, good but not great, right? I mean, and let me say this. I'm not saying their whole season, because I know the whole season, that's for sure accurate. Have they become great with the last month when they played six straight games and won six straight games that they tried in, were they still only good?
No, I would still say good, but not great. You know, I've been saying about Matthew Stafford all game long. For one game, he can look like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they can look like an elite offense. My question was, in the playoffs, can he do that for three straight weeks? And just what I've seen this year, their inconsistencies, I don't know that they can do that. You know, a month ago or so, they put up 44 points on the Buffalo Bills, and everyone thought, man, watch out for the Rams. And then the next 3 weeks, they don't score over 20 points. So I think their A game is very good, so they do have that ceiling. But I think you saw some of that last week, and now coming to Philadelphia in this weather against the best defense in the NFL, I think it's going to be a tough spot for them.
How much we're still talking about Jalen's performance last week against the Packers. When you evaluate that, Sheil, the all 22, what are your takeaways?
Yeah, you know, I've struggled with this all week long because on one hand, I watch that film and I look at it and it's a very uninspiring passing game. And I'm not telling you that they need to come out and throw the ball 35 times a game. What you want to see is that when they do need to throw it, we know they're going to be run heavy, but when they do need to throw it, can they throw it efficiently? And they did that in the first game against the Rams back in week 12. But in this game, you know, I think it's a combination of two things. I think I still come away feeling uninspired by the scheme, feeling like they're not scheming guys open, they're not creative, they have a low volume of passing concepts. And then I think what happened with Jalen Hurts, at least this is my you know, theory, is that early in the season, he turns the football over a little bit. And after that, they say, we're prioritizing avoiding turnovers over everything else. And so I think that's led to probably the most conservative Jalen Hurts we've seen since he's become the quarterback, where they attempt just one throw of over 20 yards last game, where they target A.J. Brown just three times in that game. So I look at all that, and then I say, it's working. They're two games away from being in the Super Bowl. They've got a great defense. They've got a great rushing offense. They've got a great offensive line. So maybe it won't catch up to them, but that is what I see from the passing game when I turn on the film.
Sure. It's just conservative, yet somehow Jalen takes the brunt of the blame, despite the fact that, you know, it was called in such a way that it was. It felt predictable. It felt simple. And the receivers also at times, how about the receivers' openness, Shiel? How open were they? I know AJ talked today, stressed the fact that he's always open. But when Jalen is conservative to begin with, doesn't want to put the ball at risk in any way, how open were these receivers that he was throwing to?
Yeah, I don't put blame on the receivers. You know, I do think consistently if they're getting one-on-ones, they can get open. Now, schematically, there are things where you run a certain route concept and the defense has a beat on it. And you legitimately saw that in this game where then Jalen Hurts has to hold on to the football and figure something out. I mean, there's just too many snaps in this offense where the quarterback's either taking a sack or throwing the football away or trying to scramble. And if you look at it, when Hurts can play in rhythm and get the football out within 2.5 seconds, he's been very good this season. I think the issues have come when he's had to hold on to the football a little bit. But listen, even in the past, when you would say, hey, A.J. Brown's not really open, Jalen Hurts has been willing to give him a shot and throw the football up there. You say, wow, you should do that. A.J. Brown can make a play. Those plays are not part of what they're doing right now. If it's a 50-50 ball, they're turning it down and saying, hey, let's live to see another game. And again, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm saying, yeah, and we win almost every game, so that is a fine way to play. So it's really a tough thing to balance right now, how concerned to be about it.
Yeah, it's an odd dynamic. It's very unusual. And to your point, they do win an awful lot. And, you know, Shiel, I've made the point many times. I think they manage a game in an exceptional way. Jalen is part of that. You guys know I don't love him in the passing game, but I do think the conservative nature fits having a great defense and a great running game. So there's that element. And also, Shiel, I think Sirianni's game management, I know it got weird in October, but I got to tell you, over 4 years, I think he's a superb, superb game manager. Do you agree with that, Shiel?
How do you compare him and Sean McVay?
I wouldn't go superb, Joe. I think we probably don't always see it the same way. Mm-hmm. I like being aggressive. I like, hey, let's go for it on fourth down when you have those opportunities. And he's actually been, there are times where he's a little conservative for me, if I'm being honest. You know, just like last week, they had, a 4th-and-4 in opposing territory. You try to draw them offside, and then you punt. They had third down plays or 3rd-and-long, and they're just running the football. So I understand. I understand why he's doing it that way. The formula has worked. But to me, I do prefer being a little aggressive. Now, Sean McVay has had real issues with this in the past. He actually hired a coach this offseason to help him specifically with the game management because they were burning timeouts very early in the first half, very early in the second half, and they would get to the end of these games in close games and they wouldn't have timeouts. So I think it's been a little better for him this season, but I would give Sirianni the edge over McVay when it comes to managing the game and making those in-game decisions.
You know, Shiel, I just got to think, I don't have every example in my back pocket, but I got to think the coaches that call plays on offense, it's harder for them to manage the game. I don't know how it wouldn't be.
Of course it is.
It's just got to complicate things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to have somebody in your headset that is telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You know, these coaches are so... that they need to control every single thing. I'm sure John could speak more to that with his experiences. But when they realize, hey, there's a lot on my plate, I need to hire someone I trust so that when that clock's winding down and I need to know, am I punting? Am I going for it? Do I need to call timeout? How many times have we seen that this year? I mean, that Thanksgiving game with the Bears was the biggest example of it, where it's on national TV and they don't know what they're doing at the end of the game. I just don't understand how you can sleep in your office and work 100 hours a week, but then this thing that can really give you an edge with making these decisions within the game, you don't have that buttoned up.
So Sean McVay, as a game manager, knew he needed help, went and got it. Sean McVay, as a game planner and offensive coordinator against Vic Fangio, how does that matchup look to you?
Yeah, that you know, I think McVay as an offensive schemer, game planner, play caller is elite. And this goes back to that Super Bowl that he lost against the Patriots, where the Patriots took the game plan from Vic Fangio earlier that season and implemented it against Sean McVay and totally shut down his offense. So I think that has lived in McVay's head for a long time. Now, I will say...
So you know, think this has been brewing for a while, and this is going to be like the climax of a long time building for McVay?
I do think it's a big deal for him. I mean, you heard him talk about it after that Super Bowl. You know, he was very open about it, how he kind of went to a dark place after that Super Bowl and really felt like he let his team down against a scheme that Fangio had cooked up. Now, I will say, reviewing the Week 12 game here between the Eagles and the Rams, McVay did some good things in that game. You know, the Rams only scored 20 points, but they had a fumble in the red zone. They missed a field goal. And if you look at it, they performed better than a lot of the offenses that have faced off against Fangio and the Eagles here over the last 6-7 weeks, where the Eagles have just shut everyone down. Yeah, I do think there's a very fun coaching matchup here where McVay's accomplished a lot. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. And this is a guy who in the past he's called the toughest defense in the NFL to go against. And by the way, this could be McVay's last game with Matthew Stafford. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with that team in the offseason. So, yeah, it is a fun subplot between those two coaches.
Sheila, I'm sure everyone, I mean, maybe literally 100% of people listening are more familiar with Stafford and the Rams offense than their defense. Give us a couple names every Eagles fan should be aware of on the Rams defense going into this game that could pose a threat to the Eagles.
It really comes down to their defensive line. You know, if they cannot pressure the quarterback, I don't think it's a very good defense. But they've been able to pressure the quarterback. So they've got guys up front. Jared Verse is the first-round pick this year, probably going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he's fifth in the NFL, in the entire NFL, in pressures this year. So he is an outstanding player. Kobe Turner, Byron Young, it's all the guys up front. Because in that first game, the Eagles' offensive line handled them for the most part. And if they're able to do that again, then I think the Eagles are going to win big in this game. If that Rams pass rush can notch some more victories again and make Jalen Hurts hold on to the football, that's really their path to victory. But, you know, they've been very good in the red zone. They've been better as of late, but it's still, if you go talent for talent, one by one, Eagles offense versus Rams defense, you're going to put the check mark next to the Eagles Eagles player in most of those cases.
Eagles win, right, Shil?
I've got the Eagles, I'm debating still if it's a blowout or close, but I think this broke pretty well for them. I think they're going to be able to run the football and just their defense shows up every week. I mean, I don't remember an Eagles defense in a long time where it's just week-to-week reliability like this one. So, yeah, I think they've got a great shot to advance to the NFC Championship.
Shil, stay well, bud. We'll talk to you next week. Again, everyone follow Shil's work at The Ringer and at Shil Kapadia on Twitter. Thank you, Shil.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Good stuff, Shil, bud. All right, let's close down the Twitter poll question from the 8 o'clock hour, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Chevy remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. All right, poll question. Which of these is the most iconic photograph? Is it the Times Square kiss at the end of World War II? Marilyn Monroe with the dress getting blown there by the, what'd you call it?
The subway grate.
Yeah, the grate.
The grate?
It's a subway grate.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then choice C.
Why is that amazing?
I mean, it really got blown quite a bit. So
yeah, there's a lot of air poofing up from the subway.
Have you ever stood on Broad Street when the subway's going by?
Yeah, amazing. But never with a dress, so I would never know.
I certainly hope
that's
not, Joe. It would change my opinion of you just slightly.
All right, or choice C, the atomic bomb. So, John, which would you vote for?
Sorry, the B, what was B again? The
B is Marilyn Monroe, not, C is the bomb, and A is the kiss.
A is the kiss. The VJ day feels massive.
I would go with the kiss.
Iconic.
James, yeah, which would you do? Rhea?
Marilyn Monroe.
All right, so John, which do you think won?
I think VJ Day wins like 54%.
51%. The
really
kiss.
Good today.
25, very well. Very good,
I think
mean.
That might have been like a psychic premonition.
I'm
the
impressed.
50 part.
All right, 51%, The Kiss, 25% really Hiroshima, or I don't know, whatever picture it was, the atomic bomb, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, one of them. And then The Dress is 24%. All right, so the finals. Which of these, and we'll tell you this next segment, which one wins. So here's the three that are in the finals. The Marines raising the flag at Iwo Jima, JFK Jr.'s salute to his dad's coffin, the Times Square kiss. James, was there anything that wasn't said that should have been said as an iconic photo?
I think the blue marble, that was the first picture of Earth, like the full Earth from space, which became really famous, was another one, along with Earthrise that could have been said. I think blue marble might be more famous even, because that's like the full Earth shot that we've seen forever and ever.
Now, what about Neil Armstrong on the moon? Is that a photo or is that a still shot of a video?
That's a video, so it's not quite as famous as a photograph.
There wasn't a photo taken?
I mean, I'm sure there was, but the famous thing we've seen is him like hopping along there, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's the flag on the moon, which I don't know if that's from a video or a photograph.
I don't know either.
I don't either, yeah.
But the planet Earth picture.
That's a big one.
I do think that's massive, but it's watering down Earthrise for me now to where that does change my
outlook. Yeah, I think the blue marble might be more I don't know. It's more seen, I think.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good stuff. Really good. Well, this was fun. All right, so we'll give you the results next segment of what wins and ultimately who wins the Metallica tickets. Let's do life advice. We do every Thursday a little life advice with the hammer.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe the Camera?
The hammer.
I'm an idiot.
All right, life advice brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. Seltzer, what does someone need help with today?
We're going to help Impulse out on Twitter.
All right, well, first off, get a new name, but okay.
All right.
Impulse.
Impulse says, I'm in my mid-30s and I'm still taking an exam for my career. Ugh.
Still taking what?
An exam for my career. So they're in some sort of schooling. It says, I don't know if Impulse is a man or woman, so I'll say it. Says, I have 2 weeks to finish studying for this test. Hammer, what are the best techniques for cramming for a test?
Oh, God. The best techniques.
You seem like someone who would wait till the last minute to study for if you studied at all.
I mean, 2 weeks isn't exactly the last minute. But
I'm guessing it is for this type, but when you get to graduate school and so on and so forth.
It could be a Series 6, Series 7.
It could be the bar, it could be this, it could be that. Who the hell knows, you know? Yeah.
The best technique to cram. Well, not have it in January when the NFL playoffs are going on, I'll tell you that.
So it doesn't help.
Let's start with you chose the wrong month. Look, I don't listen.
Wow, you are so not helpful right
now. Don't listen to our show. Like, get your ass.
Certainly not right now.
Get your ass in the
you.
Lab. You know, I mean, I guess you have to sort of ward off family and friends for 2 weeks and hunker the hell down for 10 hours a day, I guess.
You have to do the work. I
don't know what else to say.
Bear down, as we said yesterday, for another reason.
Bear down.
Cramming it now, you must do the reading. You must put the time
in
if you want to know the material.
I mean, it's a simple way to put it.
You have to shut off the fun. You have to be like, listen, I'm not going out. I'm not doing it. Like, you have to really commit. That's really the only way you're going to get this done. Like, there's no other way.
I agree.
And you can do that. You can do that. Full commitment. Read. All the reading that needed to be done, all the reading that was assigned that you maybe didn't do.
Yep.
Go back and get that done.
And I'll give you one more thought. In the words of Mickey, women weaken knees. Focus, my man.
That's true.
Focus.
Well, we don't know if Impulse is a man or a woman.
Yeah.
Just Impulse.
And I can't see just Twitter. The relationship
men weaken knees. Humans weaken knees. So budget your time wisely. And with that, that's a little life advice with the hammer. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Rick. He's calling from Easton. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I would talk about this once in a while. You know, I'm hugely, hugely behind what Howie Roseman did with the SEC players, and it's now obvious.
Yep.
The NFL makes $15 billion a year. money, follow the money. Cash is king. The Boses are soon both going to be on the golf course. And this Big Ten versus SEC thing is a joke, because just because the last two seasons, Michigan and Ohio State will win, and most of the SEC players are not playing in these games, the SEC really still dominates. If you look at the numbers
of course they do. Yeah, of course.
It's 460 that are in the NFL to the 360 from the Big Ten. Carter and Smith, John, we talked about this a couple days ago. Cooper DeJean was a second-round draft pick. You tell me a team that picked a player like Carter at number 9 and Nolan Smith at number 30 in the first round. That doesn't happen. It's very unusual. So to me, the SEC, even though Mitchell and Cooper are a great addition to this team and defense, obviously we learn now that...
Wait, Rick, hang on one second. I want to ask you a question, because I feel like a teacher when I'm hearing, like, the students start at the paper in the third paragraph. What is your point?
What is the thesis here? I have so many people making fun of the fact that the SEC's now burning like a sinking plane and a crashing plane, and that's not true. The SEC.
Okay, fine. So no, I'm with you. SEC is great. Got it. We're all good.
End of story. And so, but again, I don't know if there's been a first round pick like the Eagles got.
Well, there has been. I mean, the Ravens drafted Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden in the first round of their first draft.
Which leads me to my crown.
So that would be a little better, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad.
I got you, Rick!
Here's my vote for the crown.
Go ahead,
you're
going to
laugh. All right. We laughed when he talked about being the gold standard, when he purchased the Birds. Everybody laughed at him because of what he spent for the Birds.
Jeff.
He hired Roseman. He knew Andy Reid had the it factor, and no front office has had more head coaches in the NFL the last 10 years that were successful. Harbaugh, Reid, Peterson, McDermott. They all have rings except for McDermott, who's really had Buffalo.
All right, Rick, I got you, my man. Very, very verbose.
Yeah,
very verbose.
We'd like
really
to crown him in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Jeff Lew, I was so confused at this. I didn't know what the point was.
Is he trying to say the Eagles players they got from the SEC are great?
I don't know.
I mean, I was doing diagrams and the math. And
SEC is king, but...
Well, it's funny because one of the two guys they got this year is a Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's true.
Cooper was at Iowa, and the other one was at a small school.
By the way, John, Ohio State wins on Monday night, right?
It feels like
it. Yeah, it does.
But who knows, man? It's a 7 and 8 seed, right? It really
is. Yeah, but the seeding doesn't matter.
That was the biggest flaw.
Yeah. Especially the top seeds. Like, having Boise State is one that, like, it's just not, yeah. Like, I get, like, the heart of it, but it's just dumb.
Oregon got screwed having to play Ohio State in a 1-8 game.
They're the one seed. Yeah.
They got screwed. What are we doing here?
Crazy.
Now, look, they had a fair and square chance, but they got screwed. They did. All right, Eagles and Rams on Sunday. Reminder, we give away tickets to the game tomorrow, 8 o'clock. Be here or be square? Does that work?
Be there, be square?
Yeah, but I can't say be there when I'm here. Yeah. I mean, the point is for people to listen here. Be here or be square?
Yeah, it doesn't rhyme as well as the problem.
No,
be
I'm
there
aware
or
that.
Be square.
It doesn't hit the same way.
No, it doesn't, but...
Be here or live in fear? I don't know.
Ooh.
Not too bad.
Something like that. All right. Time's yours in about 10 minutes, phone calls. But serious, reminder, 8 o'clock tomorrow, win tickets on WIP to the Eagles and the Rams. Spread the word to your family and friends. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Abington right now. What's going on, Tom?
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Doing great, Tom.
Yo, Tom.
Yeah,
it's been a while, Tom.
Yeah, I got my hands full, John. I got life going on. You know how it goes.
You're right, man.
I will be, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, hang in there, whatever.
Everyone can tune into Go Birds Radio every Saturday and hear Tom.
I heard him. First caller.
Our show every Saturday.
Well, first caller every show. Isn't that a little boring?
He's our go-to leadoff caller. Tom leads off our show on Saturdays. Every Saturday.
Boring,
no, I'm not calling you boring.
Clearly, Joe doesn't listen
to your Go Birds Radio,
considering every single week Tom's leadoff caller. I literally go, let's start out the week where we do every single hour at this time. Let's go to Tom.
It's my favorite part. Just Tom. I love him leading off.
All right.
And I don't even have a big head about it, Joe.
Nor should you.
All right, so... we got this game coming up, and I hear a lot of chatter about Jalen has to be better. Now, Of course, you know, he could have played better, but under the circumstances, coming off the concussion, I think we got what we, you know, we should have expected. I don't think he has to play that much better this week. I think our defense rules this game. We got LA coming across the country. We have their running back who has coughed the ball up 6 times during the season, 1 time last week against Minnesota. And I know I've seen Matthew Stafford, when you hit him often and early, that he will cough the ball up.
Yeah, he does. So,
yeah, so I see our defense really ruling the day. I see 4 turnovers, and I see them winning this game, I don't know, like 29-18. I don't think we have Quinion Missile, we have Super DeGene, we got the Georgia boys, we got the cold weather, we got the snow moving in. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect storm.
Tom, I'm not worried either, man. I like your analysis. I mean, I think 4 turnovers, again, is a little ambitious, but I agree with your basic premise, including that Jalen doesn't likely need to play that much better for the Eagles to win because I don't think the Rams are that good.
Correct. Yep. Now, moving forward, whether it's the Lions or the Commies, and let's face it, it could be the Commies, which would be fantastic getting the game here. In that game, yes, he will have to play better.
Yeah, no, probably. It gets harder as you go.
I think it's really unlikely that we get the – well, clearly it's very unlikely we get the Commies. That line
I don't
is
know
probably
about
eight and a half.
Ours.
8.5 is the line.
8.5.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tom,
I'll
give you, I looked anyway.
Tom, I'll give you a Hurts-Foles analogy. If Foles played in the Super Bowl the way he played against Atlanta,
we
Eagles would have lost by 2 touchdowns.
Correct.
He elevated his game as the playoffs went on. So it's,
right.
Yeah.
So let's watch Jalen do the same thing.
Tom, give me an answer. Who deserves a crown?
Well, I was going to crown your cantaloupe, Joe, but instead, I'm going to give the crown to your cousin for going to the prom with
you. It was a really nice thing to do, you know?
You know who should have been set for the crown? I thought there was a pretty clear creative answer the whole show.
Dennis Green. Yeah,
Denny
I was thinking
Green.
The same
the
thing. I was waiting for it, too. You want to crown him?
I mean,
then crown him.
I mean,
or the Chicago Bears. Like, either would have been
right.
The same answer.
I mean, I thought that would have been a fun way to, you know, go about it.
I was thinking it all show, too.
All right, let's close down the Twitter poll. So, this is a 2-day venture here for us to figure out the most iconic photo of all time. We got all sorts of great answers yesterday. We put them into 3 different polls earlier in the show. 3 things advanced during our show today. From the 6 o'clock hour, most iconic photo, JFK Jr. saluting his father's coffin. From the 7 o'clock hour, the Marines raising the flag at Iwo Jima. From the 8 o'clock hour, the Times Square kiss on VJ Day, the end of World War II. John, one of these won considerably, and I did not expect that. Which do you think won? Hold on. Before that, I'm sorry. My fault. I'm going out of order. Rhea, which would you vote for? JFK Jr., Marines Iwo Jima, Times Square.
Iwo Jima.
Okay, Seltzer?
I would vote for Iwo Jima.
Richie?
This is close. It's close between VJ Day and Iwo Jima.
I agree with you. I'm very torn on that.
And it's like, wow, which really... I think the Marines...
I lean to the Marines.
American flag. You know?
No, I know, but it's also the celebration in America of the war being over. And they're both World War II. Look, I would go Iwo Jima. They're the ones that actually fought. And then Times Square, while that sailor, I believe,
he's a sailor and a stranger.
Yeah, and I assume he fought, but many of the people in the streets were not the fighters in the war. They were the people back home worrying about the war. I would go with the Marines that fought Iwo Jima. So... all 4 of us said the same answer. John, which one do you think won the poll?
I think the Iwo Jima Marines win it all.
They do. 60% say the flag race.
That's surprising, though, the 60%.
Yeah, because the Times Square thing is a big deal. 23% say Times Square kiss. 17% say JFK Jr. salute. All right, well, look, well done by all the voters. That was fun. And so congratulations, James. I know you have it in there for who won.
Congratulations to Manny.
Manny
was the winner.
Good job, Manny. You're going to head to Metallica, man. That's really cool. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll award another pair of tickets to Metallica based on answers today. Let's talk to Derek and Paoli. What's going on, Derek?
What's up? Good morning.
Good morning, Derek.
How you doing, John?
Good.
Appreciate your commentary. This is my call is more for Rhea and Joe, right?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Buckle up, Rhea and Joe.
No, I'm just saying, when y'all was playing the AJ thing, right? And he said, oh, you know, were you healthy out there? Was everything okay? Like, did you really think he was going to say that he was hobbled?
No, that wasn't what we were referencing. Yeah.
When you said about him being open and all that, like, yeah. For me, just listening, I listen every day. I listen to all the, I like all the shows. I don't get me wrong. But I just feel like some of the, and I don't think Hurts is like on top of the world and this and that. He was a second round pick, so it's only but so good he's going to be.
Well, that's not accurate on that basis. Tom Brady was a six round pick.
It might be the best ever. Of Jalen Hurts, right? From the beginning of the season, you had no belief in Jalen Hurts, right? You said he doesn't throw the ball well, he don't read defenses well, right?
You know, I probably had more. Like, hold on. I'll say this: I probably had more belief in Jalen earlier in the season than I do now, because I feel like now I've seen 2 years in a row where he hasn't measured up to 2022.
The passing part of the offense is not fantastic.
Yeah,
that's okay. So that's my whole point. So if you are seeing
opposite of your point, but go ahead.
No, no, it's not my point. If you're saying that somebody's not good, right? I don't think he does this good. He doesn't do this good. He hasn't played well all year. Like, at what point are you going to stop expecting him to meet your expectations?
Oh, I don't. Well, my expectations are fairly low. So
no, what are your expectations?
He generally meets my expectation to hand the ball off.
Wow.
No, I'm joking. It's a joke. Can someone around here take a joke? Look, Derek, there's two reasons the Eagles run the ball 65% of the time. One, they're not very good passing because of him. Not very good. I didn't say bad. Not very good passing. And two, they're exceptional running in part because of him. Those are both facts.
Bro, listen, we could have all this other stuff going on, right?
And they win anyway.
And to this point, we're still winning.
But we'll see what happens when they face better teams.
I can't wait to see what happens when he has a 400-yard passing game.
Well, he's not going to have
one. And then will you say he's a good passer?
He's not going to have a four. You think in the next 3 weeks he's going to have a 400-yard passing game?
You don't think
there's
he could?
There's a 0% chance.
Of course there's a
whatever is less than zero is the chance he has to have a 400-yard passing game this season.
Listen, I think he just secured a 400-yard passing game.
Sirianni should be fired if he puts him in a position to have a chance to have 400 yards passing, because that would give him a chance for 5 interceptions. But that's a whole other matter.
You don't think you should save some of the negativity for a loss, though? It's like if they lose.
I get your point, Derek. I get it. Listen,
it's a great point, Derek. Every week,
Derek,
10 games in a row. Earth's got to be better. We can't win like this.
Well, hold on.
That's not the best team in the NFL.
Derek, that's not. Derek, that's not what I said Monday morning. Monday morning, I said they have a real chance to win it all with him playing like this because of the greatness of the team. I just wish he would play better.
Well, he's on the team, though. That's what I'm saying. Y'all put Jalen.
Yeah, but he's not the greatness part of it.
He's playing to win. Is he playing to win?
Yes.
Yeah.
We watch so many horrible quarterbacks. I do think you go too far with it, though. He was better than Jordan Love. He's better than Justin Herbert. He's better than like all these guys that everyone's like, oh, Sam Darnold light years better than that guy.
I understand.
Like, so I think.
But he also has advantages those guys don't have. I mean, we can go back and forth a million times on this.
Sam Darnold has Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Aaron Jones.
I understand. Derek, give me an answer, my man. Who deserves a crown?
Hugh Hefner.
I don't know about that.
Hugh Hefner.
Probably not.
Yeah, saying no.
Let me ask you a question. Seltzer.
Oh, boy.
Hefner right now. Three choices, okay?
Okay.
Heaven, hell, or there's no heaven or hell. Where is he?
I don't believe in heaven or hell, so I would say neither.
Okay. Rhea, where's Hefner? His basic MO was, I'm going to take photographs of naked women, and I'm going to publicize them with their consent.
And heaven, they were fine with it. So
they were.
Yeah.
Heaven?
Purgatory?
Maybe. What about OJ? Where's OJ right now? John Ritchie.
I think we know where he
OJ.
Is.
OJ, heaven, hell,
down
or
elevator.
Heaven, hell, or there's no heaven or hell?
Netflix.
What, go watch the special?
No, he's on Netflix. I know I can find him on Netflix.
You know, James, I got to tell you, when OJ died, and I didn't do it because I just thought it would be
inappropriate,
a little much. I was really tempted to have the Twitter poll question of the day after he died.
Oh, God.
OJ. Did he do it?
OJ, heaven, hell, or none of the above. It would have been a hell of a poll.
Yeah, indeed.
Wait, and you thought it was inappropriate?
Could you imagine that poll?
Why would it be OJ?
All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
In the wide world of sports, there are two groups of people that I feel more sorry for than ever. And that's the 76ers coaching staff and the people who have to cover the 76ers on TV and radio. This organization is pathetic, and they have put those people in the most precarious spot. I hate the owner. Go Birds!
Well, look, I hear you, they're in a tough spot, but the coach
makes $12 million a year or whatever. I don't feel that bad for
I've
him.
Lost respect, in part, for the coach, in part. For the methodology in which he covers up the nonsense. I mean, he's doing his job of keeping his job, but he's not keeping it real with the city of Philadelphia, and I don't respect that.
Man, Sixers were so close, but you got to give them credit tonight. They played hard, and they played with heart. They came up short, just as you think, as they were going to pull ahead. The Knicks answered right back, but they give them credit. They had heart tonight. Time's yours.
Look at this.
They did have heart, and it was close. And there was a possession where Paul George got the ball punched out where we were about to tie the game.
Yeah,
I mean, after being down 16, we really did give it the good college try, but then we quit. We quit in overtime. Once again, I was exasperated by the experience.
I love how invested you are, John.
I wanted to get back into it, and then they just gave up again.
I know.
Of course, the camera has some cool little historical thing in his apartment entry just to distract you from the fact that right down the hallway, every Tuesday, he cranks his bidet up to the car wash setting and takes it for a spin.
That is such a bad mental picture.
Let me tell you something.
Horrifying.
There's a lot.
Upsetting is actually a word.
Lot that goes on in that bathroom, from the bidet to the tub and the White House bath mat to step out on. It is a bathroom to
you
behold.
You pretend in the bathroom, too? Like, you actually have the White House bath mat?
I do. I'm going to start doing thoughts from the bathtub as a regular.
Everyone loves that.
A regular tweet. Thoughts from the bathtub.
Extremely grossed out that makes me.
I like it. I dig it. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
That's going to be my yours thing. Line.
No,
leave
no,
Joe and John
no.
a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints.
Yeah,
call 215-238-4500.
Because some people have something. Like, LeBron's got Taco Tuesday. Who's got a thing? Madden had the Telestrator.
Toilet Tuesday?
Toilet Tuesday. Well, no, what do I call Tuesdays?
Tuesdays Tubby
is...
Tuesdays.
No, the Toilet Tuesday thing
is...
Tickle Tuesday. That's when I use the bidet, even when
sad that I knew that so quickly.
Don't have the need.
Be a perfect way for you to flush out your ideas.
Let me tell you something. It does a number on you.
Let's go. Oh, God.
Let's go. All right, let's quickly turn two. We got to turn two fast here. We're looking for who deserves a crown. Who deserves a crown? We're moving fast. Turn it two. Ben, who deserves a crown? Benji. Benjamin. Ben gone. Who deserves a crown? Guys, you can win Metallica tickets. Connor in Pottstown. Connor, who deserves a crown?
Robin Williams, the king of comedy.
You know what? He may be the funniest person of all time. I will say that. It's debatable. He is certainly amongst the all-timers. That's a viable answer. Pablo in Sewell, New Jersey. Pablo, who deserves a crown? All right, Pablo's got nothing.
Man, we got silent callers.
All right, so we've got, Robin Williams for King of Comedy, okay. We've got Jeffrey Lurie for Best Philadelphia Owner. I mean, certainly since Ed Snyder. Maybe he's past Ed Snyder. It's debatable. They're the two biggies of my lifetime. Hugh Hefner was crowned for what? What was the Hefner thing?
I'm not quite sure.
All right.
The which one?
The Hugh Hefner. What was the crown for?
We just said Hugh Hefner.
Porn?
Yeah. Sure.
Gets crowned for porn.
Yeah.
Okay, Big Dom. Big Dom.
Sure.
He's one of one. I'll tell you what, there's never ever been anyone else in sports history with his role
famous. Yeah.
It's, All right, Don King was said. George Washington was said. Sixers ownership for being bad. What do we got here? Is it Lurie?
I mean, I like George Washington.
The George Washington thing, because
I think George Washington's a great answer. I think it's really clever.
I like it a lot.
I like it too.
And I think it's one of the most consequential decisions in the history of America.
For turning down being a king.
Yes, exactly. So now, 250 years later, we make him a king. It's hilarious.
And
it's
irony. He refused to run for the office of president.
I think it's a great answer.
All right, G-dubs for turning it down.
So disappointed in you, James.
I think it's a great answer. I thought it was good at the moment he said it.
Our caller, Joe, earlier today, because George Washington turned down being king. So, as Alanis Morissette would say, isn't it ironic? Yeah, I really do think. Everyone.